When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and fade into the gentle sleep of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. No more broken dreams, no more tears to cry. Into my Father's arms I'll fly.
I'm praying that God will help me give it justice, but I want you to listen to the title before we read the text. The title is, Do You Have Blood on Your Hands? Do you have blood on your hands? Now, I need to tell you of a dream that Brother Kenny Harris had before I begin this message. He didn't tell me this dream until I told him this morning what I was preaching on. I don't normally tell. I like to save it all and let it all be fresh. For some reason, and I now know why, I told Brother Kenny what I was preaching on. And he told me of a dream that he had within the last days, maybe 30 days ago. He said, Brother Chambers, as far as I can understand in my dream, I was praying. I was seeking the face of God. And he said, I was standing with both hands uplifted to God, letting God know how much I trusted him and loved him. He said, all of a sudden, I realized that blood was draining down from my hands, down my arms on both sides. And there I stood. He didn't tell me all of this. I'm kind of paraphrasing. But there I stood with blood running down from my hands on my arms before God. And that was the dream. And when I told him what I was preaching, I said, Brother Kenny, why did that happen? He said, because I wasn't doing all that I knew I should be doing. I wasn't doing something of this nature, all that I knew I should be doing. So I want to ask you this morning in this title message, do you have blood on your hands? The book of Mark 16 and verse 15. The book of Mark 16 and verse 15, the liberal Bibles say that these verses are questionable, but they are in the Textus Receptus, and many, many great voices have been raised in defense of them to make it plain that those compromisers would want to take them out, and I can understand why when I read it. So let's listen quickly to the Word of God. And he said unto me, this is Mark 16, 15. And he said unto me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You may be seated. Would you stretch your hand this way and pray for God to help me this morning to say exactly what the Lord would have me to say. Would you do that, Father? Help your servant to preach the word clear and plain and lucid this morning, that we may hear and that our lives may be affected. In Jesus' name, I pray. The greatest ministry of a believer, the greatest work of every saint of God, the greatest work of every preacher, of every prophet, of every apostle, every man of God, woman of God, the greatest work they can ever be involved in is the business of soul winning. The business of soul winning. Nothing matches the responsibility and the ministry of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Nothing is more wonderful. Nothing is more exciting. Nothing brings more joy into a church. Nothing brings more joy into a congregation of people than when somebody is won to Christ. When somebody is wonderfully saved. When somebody is gloriously born again. Now, there is what the Bible calls a crown of soul winning. A crown of soul winning. The Bible doesn't say some specific thing about that particular crown, but very clearly it is held up by the church world of the past as the highest possible crown that a Christian could win, that a Christian could accomplish. I wonder this morning, how many of you have ever really carried a burden to be a soul winner? How many of you have ever carried a burden to be a soul winner? How many of you have ever wept for hours over somebody that was lost? Have you ever woke up in the night and began to weep because you suddenly realized a loved one or somebody important and somebody grand to you was lost and was on their way to a devil's hell and you wept and your heart was broken? How many of you have ever had a loved one to die, suddenly be gone, and as far as you knew, they were not prepared to meet God? They were gone out to a devil's hell. I'll never forget the day that my dad committed suicide. I'll never forget the day some short time ago that my elder brother, the oldest of eight of us, committed suicide. It was a sad moment. Our sister Judy Lawless is weeping this morning because her sister Melissa went out to meet God last night, and it appears it was suicide. The investigation continues, but she committed, or at least as far as they know, committed suicide some I think 8:30 last night. And Sister Judy weeps and sobs with sadness this morning. Please make sure you pray. But listen to me now. I want you to hear me. It's very important that you hear me. Do you have blood on your hands? Are you responsible this morning for somebody that you should have witnessed to and you didn't do it, and you forgot them? You didn't have time for them. You were reluctant. You were a bit bashful, afraid, just hesitant. And now it's too late. Now it's too late. Do you have blood on your hands? Do I have blood on my hands? I don't know that I can say I do or don't this morning, because I've been a witness and an outspoken person for Christ through the years. Maybe there was someone that I should have responded to. I cannot answer that question. But I know my future is, I'm determined that nobody will be missed. That Brother Chambers can be responsible to be a blessing to. So, there's no reward like the reward of a crown of soul winning. Can you understand that? There's no reward like the reward of a soul who is a soul winner, who leads others to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to begin this morning by taking you to Calvary for a moment. I want you to think of what Jesus suffered for you on that cross. I want you to think of how he died in your behalf and took your stead and took your place. And while you're listening to me, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because I want to show you that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had finished that sacrifice on the cross, he had died for the sins of the world, literally died for the sins of the world. If you can imagine the sin of a whole universe being upon the shoulders and the heart of one person, the only way he could have borne it was because he was divine. No human being of just natural substance could have taken that. I'm here to tell you, not a one of us could have stood that burden and that load that was on his shoulders as he hung on that cross, because the sin of the world was upon his back. The sin of the world was upon his heart. He was declared guilty of every sin that every human being has ever committed. He was declared guilty. No wonder they say his heart exploded within his chest. No wonder when they stuck the spear in his side, out gushed both blood and water, because the sack around his heart and the heart both had exploded. And out came the very substance of his life, because he had died with the pain and the grip and the burden of the world. I know it must have been a joy the moment he said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. Can you imagine the relief that gripped his heart when finally the Son of God, dying for the sins of the world, had finished it? It was done. It was accomplished. The Father's heart was satisfied. The wrath of God had been fulfilled, and now it was over. And he could have said, "It is finished." But you know, something in this Bible that's overwhelming about that great truth. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, are you listening? Hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, if you'll understand the passages, those two verses, and you'll get the heart of them, here's what happened. The Son of God hanging on that cross bore the sin of the world. The Son of God hanging on that cross reconciled men and women of every stripe and every culture and every bloodstream. He welcomed them and redeemed them to His Father and to Himself. And when it was finished, and when the price had been paid, and when the accomplishment of salvation was fulfilled, He then committed the word of reconciliation to His church. Well, as soon as He had died, He left, your friend. He went into the heart of the earth, and then back in 3 days, was around for 40 days, and then He ascended up to be at the Father's right hand, but He left a burden upon every believer and every person that's been born again, and every person that's become a part of the church world, and every person that is now saved by grace, born again. You have a business to do. You have a business to accomplish. You have a responsibility to fulfill. And it is to bring this gospel message to your world. Does anybody understand that? Can you understand what I'm saying? When I said He finished the sacrifice on the cross, as soon as He was finished, He was out of here, so to speak, and gone back to the Father's hands. He's not here to do it. He gave it to you to do. He gave it to me to do. And we are responsible for the redemption of this world. Oh. That's overwhelming. Raise your hand and thank Him having such confidence in us. Having such desire of us and from us and with us. Having such a sense of what we could accomplish if we would truly be His and serve. He knows we can do it. He knows we have the capacity by His Holy Ghost and by the power of His Word and by the power of His blood. And He gave the responsibility to us. And so you have this morning the word of reconciliation. It is given to you. And you can say to any sinner, any godless person on the face of this earth, I have a message for you, sir. I have a message for you, lady. The Redeemer is Christ. And He left me responsible to tell you what He did. And now I'm bringing you the message that the Redeemer accomplished at the cross. And I'm telling you that you can be saved. And you have the right to claim it and believe it and see it done. Now, how many want to do what God left you the job of doing? How many want to be responsible for what the Father gave you the responsibility to accomplish? Every time a person goes to a prison house, they go there to represent the Redeemer. Every time you witness to a neighbor, you do it so to represent the Redeemer. Every time you tell a person you work with the saving power of Christ, you do so to represent the Redeemer. Fathers and grandfathers, our families are our responsibility. We say, Jesus, don't let them go to hell. I'll never forget one time I was praying and I had somebody on my heart and I was hurting for them. And I cried out, God, don't let them go to hell. And before I could get those words out of my mouth, I heard the Holy Ghost say, you don't let them go to hell. Do you understand that? God said to me, when I said to Him, don't let them go to hell, He said, you don't let them go to hell. You say, Brother Chambers, do we have that kind of power? Yes, in Him. Only by the Holy Ghost. Only by the Word of God. Only by the blood. Only by His divine commandment. We have that responsibility. We have that capacity. There's nobody out there lost that one of you can't win. If they're willing. Of course, they're going to, you know, God don't bypass their right to say no. But you certainly have a right to bring them to the point that they've got to say no or yes. Did you know you can do that? You must do that. Before I finish this morning, I hope to leave you with such, oh God, I've been all night long, every time I woke up, I said, Lord, let me weep for the lost. Let me weep for the lost. I am burdened. I am burdened to weep for the lost like I never had in my life. I don't know how much time I got left, but I'd rather spend it weeping for the unsaved and telling the story of Jesus than anything else on the face of this earth. There is no pleasure to match the pleasure of proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a debtor both to those I know and those I don't know. I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians and to the Jews and to all of you. And you are a debtor. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Are you a debtor? How many can say I'm a debtor? That's how Paul said that. He said it because he understood what Jesus had done. And he said, I've got a debt to pay. I got a debt I owe, and I've got to give my best to it. I want to tell you this morning, I come to challenge you to be a soul winner. I come to challenge you to get off of your desk, to get on your out of your seat and on your feet and onto the street if that's necessary, and tell the story of the King of Kings. I'm come here this morning to tell you that nobody can be left untouched, and nobody can be left unmoved, and nobody you work with can be eliminated from your sense of duty. Nobody you live around, nobody in your family, nobody in your household, nobody in your neighborhood. You are responsible. Oh, is that awesome? How many can accept that? I know that's heavy, but are you willing to accept the responsibility that the gospel message is your responsibility? He died. He accomplished redemption. And then he left you for glory. And said for you to do it. Plainly and simply. It's our duty. It's our calling. It's what God has made us responsible for. It's what God has given us. Now, let me take you back to Psalms. Because the whole Bible is committed to this glorious message of soul winning. The whole Bible is committed to this wonderful, wonderful truth. There's nowhere in this Bible that God doesn't hold us responsible. Go to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. I want us to see the real bottom line of how to become a soul winner. How do I become a soul winner? How do I become a soul winner? Well, look at Psalms 126. Have you got it? Verse 5 and 6. Everybody's got to say amen. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that what? How do they sow? Anybody hear me? How do they sow? In what? In tears. How long has it been since you wept for a sinner? Kroshokeba. How long has it been since you had such a burden for somebody lost that tears flowed down your cheeks? How long has it been since your heart just literally exploded in the burden and the yearning for somebody to be saved? I'm not going to tell you I've always borne this burden like I should. I stand here before you condemned in my own heart this morning because I'm yearning. God, let me weep the rest of my life. Let me weep the rest of my life for the unsaved. I'll never forget the day right there beside that post. I was kneeling and praying and weeping for Al Wright, Sister Ginger. Weeping for Al Wright. And while I'm weeping, the phone rings. And it's Andre saying, can you pray for Al? He wants to talk to you and pray and you pray with him. I said, Andre, I don't want to pray with him on the phone. Can I just come over there? And she said, absolutely. In my car, I went and got there, got on my knees over beside the bed where he was, of course, infirm, sick, and began to pray. And all of a sudden, I heard him praying. And all of a sudden, it was as real as it can be. He was born again. I mean, his words changed. His language changed. His looks changed. Everything about him changed. He was wonderfully, wonderfully saved. I'm not going to tell you it was my tears that did it, but I'm going to tell you I was part of it. I was part of it. And I want you to know something. When you get to the place that you care enough about sinners to do some weeping and some sobbing, you'll start seeing some results. They that go forth with weeping I love that, don't you? Oh, Tiklee. Oh, raise your hand with me. Will you raise your hand and ask God to put a spirit of weeping upon this church? I want us to cry from today till next Sunday evening when that revival starts. I want us weeping. I want us sobbing. I want us bearing the burden. You say, I got this on my mind. Well, get everything off of your mind but winning somebody to Jesus. Make that the passion of your heart, and you'll get results when it becomes the passion of your heart. Oh, I tell you, they that go forth with weeping. And notice he didn't stop there. He said, bearing precious seed. Hallelujah. Bearing precious seed. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Hallelujah. How much do you love this redemptive story? When you say precious seed, isn't that a beautiful description of the wonderful truth of redemption? Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about, that you have in your heart and in your possession precious treasures? Precious seed, the seed of salvation, the seed of redemption, the seed of transformation, the seed of being born again, somebody being born again. You have that seed. It's yours. You possess it. It's been given to you in the scripture. It belongs to us. The seed of the word of God is ours. So going forth with weeping, bearing precious seed. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. I want to call on you this morning. You say, Brother Chambers, I want to weep for the lost, but I don't know how. Well, let me tell you what I do. I have to go to God to help me. I bear a lot of things on my mind, and sometimes I get it too full. Sometimes it gets overloaded, and sometimes, I try to double task and triple task all at the same time, and it don't work well no more at my age. But I can tell you, I want to be a weeper for the lost. I'm praying, Holy God, put upon this man of thine a spirit of burden and passion for the lost. Let me weep. Let me weep like I've never wept. I promise you, you will never weep for the soul in genuine move of the Holy Ghost and you not get results. It's going to happen. You're not winning anybody because you're not weeping for anybody. You're not seeing anybody saved because you just kind of bear the picture of it and you see them lost. But you're going about your duty. You're too busy making dollars, too busy making plans, too busy doing things that are okay. Not particularly bad maybe, but yet the greatest thing ever happened to you is when you become a burden to be a soul winner. Now, if you want that, raise your hand. I want us to pray for it together this morning. I don't want to leave you casual. I want you to leave this church with a passion for the burden of the lost. I want you to leave this church with a spirit of weeping. Oh, God, I claim it to Mahaso Korea in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I want it to start with me. I want to weep for the lost. I want to be a broken man before a lost world. I want to be a broken soul. Servant of God before a world of people going to hell without hope, and I want to be somehow an instrument of their redemption. I want to be an instrument of their redemption. Are you praying with me? How many of you prayed for that and you believe God's going to give it to you? How many believe you're going to be weeping before the sun sets today for somebody lost? Anybody believe that? Anybody willing to take that on your heart and pray that this day before the sun sets, you want to weep in spirit for the lost? Some of you aren't dared to raise your hand. You don't think you can handle it. Well, I'm here to tell you you can handle it. You'll love it. When you begin to weep for souls and you begin to carry the burden of somebody lost, it will be a blessing to you. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I can't wait to see numbers of you come in this church and come down these aisles and you just shouting. You're just praising God. Say, hallelujah, hallelujah, Pastor. I got a soul that was saved yesterday. I got a soul that was saved Thursday. I got a soul that just got saved this morning that I brought to the house of God. He said they shall come with weeping, with weeping, bearing their sheaves. You know what a sheave is, don't you? It's a harvest. It's like going to the fields and bringing back a sheave, except this is going into the world and bringing back a soul. a sheave, someone that you have harvested, someone that you have harvested, someone that you helped come to Christ, someone that you bore the burden of the gospel to them, someone that you cared about, someone that you loved enough to weep for them. I've heard so many stories through the years of weeping moms and weeping grandmothers and weeping grandparents, and then heard the result of their weeping, and it always thrilled my heart. Father, forgive me that I've not wept enough tears through the years. Hallelujah. But I'm ready to start, Lord, if you'll help me. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. All right. I got to take you now to the book of Ezekiel. I've got to take you to the book of Ezekiel. If this don't finish my message this morning, I don't know where to take you to finish it. Because I'm here to tell you, it's amazing to me. We have a church world full of people and their hands are bloody. Their hands are bloody. And they're going to be standing before God with bloody hands. Are you telling me I'll be lost? I'm not saying that at all. That's going to be up to God's business. That's going to be up to God's judgment. The Bible does say there'll be people who lose their reward, but are saved so as by fire. But I tell you right now, I'm not going to be one of them. And I don't think you ought to be, because most likely somebody claiming to be one of them is not going to be there at all, to be real honest with you. It's just that dire. It's just that important. But I want you to hear what the Lord said in Ezekiel. It's amazing to me when you read the Bible. Something I'm doing, by the way. This is a sidebar. I'm studying all the writings of Apostle Paul. And I'm going to study all the books of the New Testament equally. And I'm going to put together a count of how many times the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament books. You're talking about, it's amazing to me, just the few I've already studied, how many times that Old Testament was quoted. So when you quote the Old Testament, that's the Word of God just as much as the New Testament. Now, we're not under the sacrifice of those animal blood. We're not going back to that. It's the truth of righteousness, the truth of holiness, the truth of God's Word. Well, listen to this in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, and we'll go to verse 18. Chapter 3 of Ezekiel, that great prophet of God. And listen, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And thou giveth him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now I'll go back. There's other verses here I want to read to you. But I'll tell you something. That's just almost overwhelming. That's bigger than me. That's bigger than I know how to describe to you. But I want to tell you, the Bible says when God says to the wicked, thou shalt surely die. How many do you know that that their lifestyle has already testified that the word of God's judgment is upon their heads? You don't have to, they don't have to hear words. The Bible's already given the words. A wicked man is condemned. A wicked man is on his way to hell. A lying man is on his way to darkness. A fornicator, an adulteress, a Christ rejecter, a lazy person, a person unconcerned about the truths of the gospel, the word of God, a person that don't know Christ, that's already the word of judgment is upon their head. And then he says, and thou, knowing that, do not speak to him and warn him of his wickedness. He's going to die and be lost. But his blood. Hold up your right hand, would you? Everybody in the building. Come on, hold it up high. I don't want anybody missing. Hold your right hand up. Look up there and think of seeing blood on it. In judgment now. I'm not talking about now. Bad enough now. Brother Kenny, I don't know how you made it through that dream. I really don't. But you've changed, haven't you? You're committed, aren't you? Shake your head up there. Raise your hand. Do something. Let me know. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, if we don't warn the wicked, we are going to have their blood on our hands. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, I work with several people, and they're just wicked and ungodly. I mean, they really do their own thing. I know they're lost. They're backslid or whatever. And you've not warned them? Well, they'll be mad at me. If they aren't mad now, they'll be mad in judgment. I promise you that. When they realize you didn't tell them, they'll be mad at you, some kind of mad. I'm going to tell you, he said, if you don't warn them, the blood's on your hands. I know some of you that work in places and there's wicked people all around you. And I presume you've already told them. But if you haven't, I'm telling you this morning, this week, you've got to tell them. You've got to go to them and say, you know, I'm having trouble doing this, but my pastor has laid the responsibility on me from the Bible. And I know, you know, that you're not serving God and you're going to be condemned. And I've got to warn you. And I got to tell you that I care about your soul. And I'm praying for you. And I want to promise you something. Nothing will make it work. Nothing will have an impact upon them like tears running down your cheeks when you say those words to them. How many believe that? You know what? It's not hardly possible to reject a weeping man. And there ain't nothing worse than a weeping woman. I've had my wife crying a few times, and I want you to know one thing. It tore my heart out of me. I'd rather anything in the world happen than see tears on my wife's cheeks. That woman is dear to me, and to see her weeping. But that's true with any woman. A woman weeping. Oh, how many of you men understand this? Let me see your hand if you understand this. Do you understand this, Joe? You understand this, folks? I want to tell you something. Mother or wife or sister or friend or whatever, a woman weeping is a heavy burden. But that's exactly what this world needs to see, is some godly women who look the part of godliness, who have lived the part of godliness, whom that man knows that's a godly woman. And she's saying to you, hey, you've been so heavy on my heart. I wept for you during the night last night. Couldn't sleep. I was weeping for your soul. And this morning, I got to tell you, I want to tell you something, church. You talk about a Holy Ghost revival. Here's where it starts. I said, here's where it starts. Do you hear me? Anybody believe that? Stand up right quick and say, here's where it starts. This is where a revival starts. Revival does not come until somebody is torn out of their frame and weeping. Oh, Christ. Woo! Somebody cry out with me, will you? If we're going to win souls, we're going to have a weeping, broken heart. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you, your pastor is so determined to be a weeping man. I'm determined to be a Jeremiah. The Bible said of Jeremiah, he cried out, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. I'm weeping for America. I'm weeping for Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Ben Carson and all those others running for president. I'm weeping for God to give us somebody with some courage and with some stability and with some godliness and with some purity. Raise your hand and let's just ask God to help us. Father, don't let us let people go to hell while we are comfortable in our righteousness, eating the good joys of the Heavenly Father. How can a man enjoy the gospel of Jesus if he's not telling the lost about it? You may be seated. I want you to listen now. I got to read another verse. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man. Now here's a real sticker. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity. How many of you know some of them? Raise your hand way up high. You know some righteous people that used to know God. They used to know Christ. They were raised in it. They know it. And they've turned from it. And the world has somehow gathered them into the camp of the wicked and the camp of the Christ rejecters. And many times they're good, decent people, but lost. They've turned away from Christ. Says again, when a righteous man turneth from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him. Now this is something I got to deal with. Here's what I've seen many times. When somebody that is backslid begins to suffer under the backslid condition, good people will go and try to comfort them and try to tell them, now, I know you don't deserve this. I know. You better, I love you. You've been a decent person. No, that's not what he said we should do. We should go and humbly and gently say, your condition is the result of your backslid condition. I had a man sit in my office just days ago, and I saw all over his face the sadness, the sorrow. And he was telling me what he was about to do and how he was about to move with his wife and children and go in some other state. And it ain't right, and we don't like it. And I know we shouldn't. And I said, how many times have you told me you used to be a Christian and you're backslid? He said, I know. My wife and I both, we're backsliders. I said, and now you're worried. He said, it's terrible what's going on. It's terrible what we're suffering. I said, my friend, you need to understand that's because God loves you and God's calling you, and you are under stumbling blocks because of your wicked ways. And if you want to change that, moving somewhere else ain't going to do a thing but make it worse. You need to get right with God. Is this okay? Am I preaching the truth this morning? Raise your hand if I'm preaching to you the truth. Raise your hand if you're going to do something about it. It isn't enough for me to preach it. I love you, but I got a burden for revival. I got a burden for my children. I got a burden. I weep and cry over them. I'm doing all kinds of things. I'm trying to be careful. I know I got to walk a tight rope, but I'm trying my best to reach them. But I'm weeping for yours. I'm weeping for your children. I'm weeping for your families. I'm weeping for your loved ones. And I'm calling you this morning to a Holy Ghost revival at the Paul Creek Church. It begins next Sunday night. It could begin tonight. I tell you right now, if we started weeping today, it may just start tonight. Because when God's people begin to weep, when Zion travails, how many remember this scripture? When Zion travails, sons and daughters shall be born into the kingdom. Listen to that. Repeat that with me, would you? What is Zion? Well, Jerusalem was Zion, but in the New Testament sense, it's the church. We're Zion. How many know you're part of Zion? Oh, yes. When Zion travails, sons and daughters shall be born into the kingdom. Now, church, I want to tell you right now, God is calling us to a Holy Ghost revival. God is calling us to a visit of his righteousness and holiness. God is calling us to know the beauty of his power and the beauty of his righteousness. Hallelujah. The divine Son left the Father's house to be his sacrifice for sin. He came into the lost world knowing a cruel cross would be his end. His hatred grew and men rebelled. He never one thought to leave. His hurt was set. He knew his hope. The wrath of God he must relieve. A little poem that the Lord gave me last night. I want to tell you something, church. It's time to get the business of God done. I don't want no blood on my hands. I don't want nobody's blood on my hands. I've got in trouble with a lot of people through the years trying to keep the blood off my hands. And I may not have always done it well. And I pray repentance of any place where I've failed. Anybody that I have been unduly hard, unduly strong, I'm more than delighted to repent. And I do so right now before you. I do so, but I want with tears trickling down my cheeks and with a sobbing heart that cares nothing but for their soul, nothing but love, nothing but grace. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner. I am going to give myself to this business with all that's in me. And if you can say I will join you, I want you to stand up. We're getting ready for revival. We're getting ready for a Holy Ghost harvest. We're getting ready to bring sinners to the cross. We're getting ready to get people saved. We're getting ready to get people saved. Let me tell you what happened to me this week. My teeth had to be realigned because my denture was nearly 3 years old, and I went to the dentist. And when I went in, he walked into the office and said, you know, you've been on my mind so heavy. He said, just last week, I was thinking about you, Brother Chambers. And I said, sir, that's not an accident. That's not an accident. God knows what he's doing. When I left his office that evening, he grabbed me and hugged me and just held on. And I knew it was a sinner needing Calvary. And somehow God's helped me to be a witness to him. And I don't know much I've done except be nice and kind and tell him, you know, the kindness of God. But I want to tell you something, folks. There's a world out there. And I honestly believe there's a movement of conviction that's taking place right now. Does anybody else see that? Does anybody else feel that at all but me? Is it just me? Is it just me and my excitement? Raise your hand if you feel it. Do you feel that there is a conviction beginning to move? Do you feel there's a breaking and begin to take place? I really do believe it is. I really do believe it is. Now let's move into that frame. I want you to witness to no less than two or three people this afternoon. Call them on the phone. Send them. Boy, the good way now is a text. You don't have to look at their face when they get the text. Sometimes that helps, Dylan. You don't have to look at their face when they get the text. But don't you hide behind no text, okay? You hide behind a text, and then you are going to be in trouble. Once you send the text, see how they respond, then call and be a part of their salvation. I don't want nobody's blood on my hands. Hold your right hand up. Maybe you ought to hold them both up. Brother, thank God for giving Brother Ken Harris that dream. Ken, thank God for him using you. Thank God for him using you. But oh, brother, I'm believing you. God's going to use us. Now, with those hands up, I want you to meet me in this altar, and I want us to give ourselves to the business of the kingdom. I am going to give myself. Come quickly, if you would, in the name of the Lord. I'm going to give myself to this business. I'm going to get negativity and any kind of old doubtful feeling, any kind of hesitancy. I don't want none of that in my mind, in my life, in my heart. I want to be God's servant, and I want God to use me. Come quickly. Come quickly. I hope nobody stays back if you possibly can come. Now I want you to raise those hands and give them to God and tell him you're not going to let there be no blood on your hands. Father, I'm not going to let there be blood on my hands. I'm not going to let there be blood on my hands. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going after the lost. I'm going after the wicked. I'm going to do my best to get that man in this revival this week that you have poured so heavy on me and others. God, I'm claiming it done. I'm claiming it done. I know God is not going to be forgetful of me and of our dedication. He said very plainly, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Do you remember that? God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Raise your hands and love him for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, get a hold of us. Everybody listening, our family, the Boykins, in Texas, Father, everywhere someone is listening, everywhere we're communicating to somebody, may this call of soul winning become mighty and real, and may nobody allow the rest of the days of their earthly journey to fail to be a witness of the Savior. Hallelujah. You died on the cross. You gave us the ministry of reconciliation, and we receive it into our hearts and into our lives with joy and gratefulness. Raising your hands, give your all to him with everything inside of you, and get yourself ready to be a part of a great move of God. Hallelujah. Put everything of this world on the shelf and get faithful in the house of God for Holy Ghost Ibarra, Holy Ghost revival. We're going to have it, saints. We're going to have it, saints. We're going to have it, saints of God. God's going to do it. God is faithful. God never fails. He's a mighty promise. Hallelujah. Pray, church. Would you pray out? Hallelujah. I am going to be used of God. How about you? I'm going to be used of God, Derek. I'm going to be used of God. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost flow through me. I'm asking him to let me weep all week this week. And boy, when that revival starts, just weeping and weeping and weeping. Lay your hand on Brother Eric here. Oh, you're going to use him mightily, Lord. I see it coming. And Angela, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Brother Aaron, hallelujah. God bless you, young man. Hallelujah. Work your work in his life, Lord. Work your work in our lives, Lord. I'm committed. I'm committed. Come on, just pray. Father, would you love and lead us in prayer?
The waves began to crash against their weak and helpless boat. The disciples feared and wondered just how long they'd stay afloat. Just when it appeared that this was where it all would end, they saw their blessed Savior as he came to rescue them. That's when he comes walking on the water in the midst of dark and stormy seas. Do not fear, just call out to the Father. That's when he comes walking on the water. Skies are clear and blue. I sail with calm assurance that his promises are true. But when the tide begins to rise, the winds